was good to, hopefully I got around to each, I don't know if I did everyone, but I got around to a lot of people this morning, and this is good to catch up with some of you where you are and what's going on in your life. So I'll tell you what, some of you are very busy. That's good though, right? If you're busy on the good things, you're busy on the good things. One thing has been challenged to me, let me just say it like this, so I want to, and it'll be in the bulletin here in the next week, I want to put something in the bulletin, so what I want to do is for those of you that are new, some of you that joined the church, still unsure, especially those that are new, still unsure kind of who we are, we're going to have a couple of dates here coming up where we're going to, I'll just do it like a group session with you on what New Life is all about, what we're doing, what we're a part of, and we're going to do it in two sessions. I thought I could do it with one, but we need two. And then on the second one, I'll just maybe give you a tour of those facilities that we do have so you kind of know what we're about. And so if you're interested in that, let me know, and then I will get back with you on the dates. But we'll also have some information in the bulletin coming up. But you're going to a church, you ought to know what we're about, amen? Yeah, so we'll do that, and then we'll do that soon. But if you're interested in that, just let me know, and I'll put you down, and then we'll get those dates soon. And but it is always good to be in the house of the Lord today, and not every country can do and assemble ourselves. As much as we are a mess, we still have freedom to worship. And so I'm very thankful for that. And but even if we did, even those people who do not have the freedom of worship still find a way to worship. They're just at a high risk. But I want to share it with you too. So and last week I was actually at a church here in Ossian, outside of Ossian, just sharing. They wanted me to come share ministries and those kind of things, and I do that from time to time. And it's always good that a church is unique, that our church to this size has five pastors, preachers, what have you. And it's always good that I can always leave and go and feel good and comfortable about it and go and share what we're doing because they're looking at maybe partnering with us in the future. So that's good stuff. It's good stuff. So that's what we do. And it's nice for me to be able to do that. And it's good because I don't hear a lot of negative comments about, oh, you weren't here or so-and-so didn't do this or that. So y'all good. It's good. It's good to see you here this morning. This morning I want to share with you, if you do have your Bibles, we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 18. And I want to share with you a few things as we get into that a little bit. I want to say, why is this world in a big mess? You know, we're getting to a place where people are starting to get discouraged in their heart. People are starting to get discouraged in their life. They're starting to ask some pretty big questions, and it's kind of getting not just even discouraged. Some people are getting depressed. Some people are getting to a place of just fear, living in fear. And I think the more we keep looking at the world, the more those things will rise up. But we have to keep our eyes focused on the Lord, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. But why is the world in such a big mess? Why is it the world such a big mess? Well, because the world just wants to continue to rebel against God. That's why. Man would rather choose to sin than go under the Lord. People like their sin. People choose their sin. It's what people choose to do. And some people try to be slick about it and say, hey, I want God, but I also want my sin too. Then we have some people that says, does God even care about me? Does God even know me? Does God even know me? Does God even care? Does God even care about me? Isaiah 49:15 says, can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the child of her womb? Even if these forget, yet I, the Lord, will not forget you. And about knowing, Psalms tells us that the Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from afar away. You observe my travels and my rest. You're aware of all my ways before a word is on my tongue. You know all about it, Lord. So the Lord does care about us. The Lord does know who we are. But even people have asked, does God even love me? Or can God love me because of the things I've done? Well, John 3:16-17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. No one wants you to come to Christ more than God. But we continue to choose sin. We continue to choose sin over and over. But even some people say, why is God doing this to me? Why is God doing this to my family? Why is God doing this to my country? Folks, let me just remind you, God's not doing these things in a way that we think. We are doing it. We are the ones that are causing our own problems. We're the ones that are sinning before God. It all started in the garden with Adam and Eve, but even if Adam and Eve, I don't think they're to blame. We would have probably done, I know I'd have probably failed as well. But God created everything. This is his world. This is his creation. Man continues to rebel against God to try to do what they want to do to make a world that they want. It's not going to exist. They're trying to make it to exist. But really, we are nothing more than clay and dirt. That's what we are. We're dirt. And it says, why is the Bible always bringing this, makes us put us into a place of dirt? It's because that's where we came from. And then you look at yourself, what you have, that's what God is able to make out of dirt. And we have this problem of we don't want God to intervene in our life. But yet when we get in trouble, we run back to God. God is speaking to Jeremiah, his prophet, talking about his people. God's people are a mess. And let me just remind you, when you walk away from God, you will end up in a mess. And it will be a mess that you do not anticipate. It will be a mess you don't think you're going to get into. But when you leave God, you walk away from the Lord that you knew, that you know, you're going to walk into a mess. And I don't care who you are, you will walk into a mess. But God is going to speak to the prophet, Jeremiah. And there's some very important things that he's going to tell him. But sometimes when God explains things, he does it in unique ways. In 18:1, in the book of Jeremiah, he says this, and this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down at once to the potter's house, and there I will reveal my words to you. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working away at the wheel. Well, we see sometimes the Lord just doesn't want to tell you something. He also wants to show you something. This is why we have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. But I also see that Jeremiah is a man of obedience. God said, I want you to go down to this potter's house. And guess what he does? He does exactly what God tells him to do. Let me tell you, folks, there are some people that God's telling them to do, maybe you, to go somewhere. You can't see God work because he's waiting for you to get there. And you're still messing around over here. And so he says this. He says, so I went down there. And then he says, but the jar that he was making from the clay became flawed in the potter's hand. So he made it into another jar as it seemed right for him to do. I want to remind you that we are all flawed people. We are all flawed people. I'm going to say this probably a couple of times, but until you let God put his hands on you, you are on your own. You have to let God put his hands on you. You have to let him put his hands on you. And it doesn't feel good sometimes, does it? But he has a purpose for it. You've been living in a mess for a long time. It takes a little while to work through it. Because he just doesn't want to just fix it like we want it fixed. He wants it to be the real deal. He wants to get those impurities out. It takes a while. We got to be spinning on the wheel. We got to let God do what he wants to do. Honest and innocent and all about us. Because we are nothing really but dirt, but we are God's creation who breathed life into us. But he says the jar was a mess. But it was in the potter's hand. It was in the potter's hand. God is wanting to do something. The potter wants to do something with this lump of clay. It says, so he made it into another jar as it seemed right for him to do. God continues to put his hands on us to form us into who he wants us to be. But we keep pushing back saying we don't want that part. We want what we want, but we don't want the rest. He says in verse 8, verse 5. The word of the Lord came to me. House of Israel, can I not trust you? Can I not treat you as this potter treats his clay? This is the Lord's declaration. Just like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, house of Israel. God is saying to Jeremiah, just like that clay is in the potter's hand, that's the way it is with you. You are in my hand. Why are we so afraid to let God put his hands on us? Because we want control. We want control. We want to be who we want to be, and we want God to stamp his approval on it. And then we want him to give us all the things that we want and desire, and then we're going to go out and do things our way. That's not the way that it works. Sometimes he doesn't give us things because it's not designed for you to get or receive. And I'm not just talking about material things. I'm talking about callings in life and certain spiritual gifts and the things. He has a specific purpose for you. Your goal is to find it. Your goal is to let God keep working with you and through you and on you and keep putting his hands on you so that he can set you into the place that he wants to be able to use you. Don't you want to be used by God? Don't you want to be used by God? See, that's what I thought. Let me tell you something. If you see the power of God move in front of you, it is a fearful thing. It is a scary thing at times. But it also is an amazing part that you are actually able to be a part of it and be able to be blessed to see it. And some of you have been blessed in the past and you have all these old testimonies that where God has moved and you're afraid to see what he might do now because you may not be right with him. God wants to put his hands on you and mold you into what he, a useful purpose. He says, just like clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, house of Israel. God's saying, you don't get a choice in this. You're in my hands. And then there's just going to be this big section here, the biggest section here that usually when people preach on, they won't get to this part. Let me tell you, nations rise and nations fall. Let's talk about it here. Verse 7, at that moment I might announce concerning, God is saying, I might announce concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will uproot and tear down and destroy it. However, if that nation I have made an announcement about turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the disaster I plan to do to it. And another time I announce that I will build and plant a nation or a kingdom. However, if it does what is evil in my sight, by not listening to my voice, I will relent concerning the good I had said I would do to it. What does this tell us? Every nation is in God's hands. Africa, Japan, Russia, Ukraine, United States. Listen, because why? Because God made it. The land and the air that we breathe is his creation. The body you have is his creation. And the only reason it's flawed and you might got asthma or you've gotten cancer is because sin messed it all up. Jesus came to redeem that, who those, the redeem and offer salvation. God's going to fix it and have a new heaven and a new earth where sin will not creep in. not going to be allowed there. But in the meantime, God is continuing to work on the nations. Kind of reminds us of the old scripture, my people who are called by my name, right? But here again, we see it even in this moment, that God sets up kingdoms and nations, and they follow his way, he blesses them. They turn, and they fall apart. Look at our nation. But I want to remind you, there is many believers in the United States. A lot more than you think, but probably a lot less than you think. Country says it might be 70%, maybe people identify as believers. But if you ask people who had traveled and speak to maybe 20%, and some very high, well-known, respectable preachers across the country that say probably maybe 20%, they agree on 20% of people that really know the Lord, 20%. Says we have a lot of work to do, huh? But even our nation is crumbling with its morals. Even our nation is messing up in so many places. But I want to remind you that God says they're in his hands. That we are in his hands. We believe that if we vote the right person in, we believe if we get the right party in. It's not really about that. There's a part of that play. But when you put God in the center, God will make a way to put a righteous person in, or put a righteous people in. We got to quit looking at those things and getting back to the heart when our hearts are with God. We have to get to that place where we're respecting and honoring, worshiping, and putting God where he needs to be, at the top. America loves God, but we put America, a lot of us put America right next to God. A lot of us put other things right next to God, like money and status and all those things right next to God. Listen, God, nothing is equal with God. Until you get that, you don't get it. He says, if I want to raise one up, I'll do it. But if they turn from my ways, I'll relent to the good that I was planning on doing. The good I do, I'll pull it back. Basically, he's saying, I'll stop blessing them. But if they do and follow my ways, my good, my blessings will continue to flow. That's what he's saying. And people struggle with that. We struggle with that. Why is God really trying to put his hands on us? To get us to live more righteous, to clean and to get us to be more pure and righteous, a Christ-like living. That we be redeemed and not thrown away. Usable for his purposes. Because if you're not letting God put his hands upon you, Satan will. And he's doing it. You see, we don't like to hear Satan in service in worship services. We don't like preaching. We don't like to hear hell in those places. Listen, America doesn't like those because we like prosperity. We've lost the fear of the Lord here. We got to get that back. We got to get that back. And the only way to get that back is to lay yourself down and let God put his hands upon you and let him start spinning that wheel. And let him start molding you in the way that he wants to. Verse 11, after he says that about those nations, he says, so now, say to the men of Judah and to the residents of Jerusalem, because Jeremiah is God's spokesman here, is his prophet, this is what the Lord says. I'm about to bring harm to you and make plans against you. Well, folks, that sounds really hard. God's got ready to put the hammer down. Now he says, I'm going to work against you. Now there's a reason and a purpose. He says, I'm going to work against you. Harm you, to bring harm to you and to make plans against you. But here's our awesome God with compassion and mercy. Turn now. each from your evil way and correct your ways and your deeds. God has given an opportunity for people to get right. That's what he's doing right now in this world. That's what he did with Jesus, giving people an opportunity to get it right. But this is what he says. But the Lord says this, but they will say it's hopeless. We will continue to follow our plans, and each of us will continue to act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. God is saying that I'm going to put the hammer down and I'm going to work against you. Let me tell you, folks, if you ever try to work against God, you will lose. God never loses. Ever loses. Why is God doing this? He's doing it because he loves them. The scripture says God disciplines those whom he loves. When it's going to put harm down, he's like, how could that be a compassionate God? Listen, he's compassionate enough to do that, to discipline you, because he does love you, because he knows if you continue to go out and live that life, you will keep drawing yourself away from God. God will use this to turn them back toward himself, because people love to call upon God when they're at the hospital. They love to call upon God when their life is falling apart. They'll call upon God when they can't fix something. They'll go back in their memory banks and say, I got a call. I'm going to pray about this. And they'll do those things. But in their everyday living, they don't even know where God is. You ever have somebody that calls you and you go, yep, I know what they want. They always want something every time they call me. Every time they call me, they only call me when they want something. They only call me when they need something. Let me tell you, nobody gets that call more than God himself. Constantly. God, I need. God, I need. God, I need. But he says, what's happening here is, he says, I'm giving you an opportunity to fix it. God gives them an opportunity to listen to Jeremiah, to get their hearts right, to get their spirit right with God, to get their lives right with God. But God knows them more than they know themselves. He says they're not going to listen. They're so entrenched into this sinful lifestyle, they'll say, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. And he says, we're going to continue on with our plans. Let me ask you, you that are not living right for God, how's that plan working for you? Seriously, how's that plan working for you? How's that plan working for you? I love talking. I mean, I speak to a group in New Haven. They've all had some, some of them have actually had some, time in jail or prison. And even here, some of you have been doing that. And I'm going to tell you, when you keep doing that same stuff and you're wondering, what's the problem? It's because you're doing your own plan. Let me tell you, folks, a plan without God is a failed plan. It's a failed plan. You can't do life and do it right without God. And let me tell you, there are people out there doing it, and they can say, I know different. Look what I have. And I'm like, look. And your day will come when your life, as Scripture says, will be called into account. And all the barns you made for all your stuff, when you die, you take nothing. Scripture says, from the ground we come, from the dirt we came in with nothing. We brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out. It's just stuff. But people will say, look what I have. Look where I'm at. Look at the position that I have. You think about it on a lifespan. Maybe you might live a longer life. However, say you live this normal life. I'm not going to call it out because some of y'all might be there. But I'm just going to say this. You got about 40 years. You got about probably, a strong impact, maybe 40. You got 40 years maybe of a strong impact. That's it. To enjoy the stuff that you have, you might get 10 or 15 years really to enjoy it. And then you got to cut out all the work weeks, and you only get it on the weekend here and there. You don't really get a lot of time to enjoy a lot of that stuff. They said, oh, we want our plan. We want our plan. We want to do it our way. Well, folks, you know, even with Burger King says you can do it, you know, you have it your way. But I've been there so many times, you don't get everything you ask for, right? It don't work. It don't always work. I ordered this and I got that. And you're 3 miles down the road and you go, well, I'm not going to turn around. And you go, they got me again. Because we thought the drive-thru was better than walking in. At least when you walk in, you see what you get. And we're still foolish enough to keep thinking that our plans work. Our plans work. They don't work. Not without God. It just doesn't work. And it's not planned to. It's not supposed to work. You know, when God came down through the garden and called out, he would come in the cool of the day and just chat with Adam and Eve. Man, that is awesome. And they blew it. That's going to happen again. It's going to happen again where it's you and I be able to walk with him. That's going to happen. But between those bookends, we got to get it right. And we got to get on his plan and do it his way. He's the one that designed it all and created it all. We need to let him be who he is, the creator, our God. And let him be God. Let him be Savior. That's who he is. And let's be the vessels that he wants to create in us. Not working, saying that it's hopeless. We're going to be on our plan. And he said each of us will continue to act according to our stubbornness of his evil heart. People are even in the end will say, I still choose sin. I still choose sin. Wow. But you know how it is. Not everyone who hears the gospel receives the gospel. Not everyone you say, can I pray for you, really wants you to pray for them. I've actually heard a couple people in my life say, I prefer you not. I said, okay. But what do I do when I walk away? Lord, they are blinded to the darkness of the world. They do not see that you are real. Matter of fact, they have walls built up in their heart and their life and their ears. Give them ears and eyes to see that they might know that you are real. Some people do not want to hear that you would offer to pray for them. Let's just be real for a moment. I'm going to say most, because it's not all, because sometimes people do bad things to other people. Some people do evil things to one another, okay? Sometimes people, life happens sometimes, but the majority, most of our pain and suffering in our life is from our own self. Can we agree with that? Most of our pain and suffering comes from our own self. You made plans, but they're not working. Because if your plan was working, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in. And some of us are in a mess. People's plans don't work, but God's plans do. You'll never live the right life unless you let Jesus put his hands on you. You're never going to live that right life. You're just not going to. You can't live the right life without you letting Jesus put his hands on you. And you'll never be the person that God intended and purposed you to be until you let Jesus put his hands on you. And folks, some of us, he's going to have to put in a lot of fingers, a lot of work, a lot of molding, a lot of like doing all that. But I'm telling you, this is the one that took nothing and made the earth and the universe and all the stars that we don't even know all of them, and all the planets and the stars have names. And the book of Job says, "Who can you walk to the recesses of the deep that God even walks down to the bottoms of the ocean and takes a stroll?" That guy, that God is going to put his hands on you. But if you say, I don't want you to put my hands on me, that's a scary place to be. Because when God doesn't have his hands on you, I'll tell you there is an evil one that does and will put his hands on you. And he will tear your life up. He'll draw you in on some sweet looking girl or some sweet looking guy or some place you, some old strings and old habits will start coming back to haunt you, and you'll drift right over there because you don't have a defense. You don't have any power or authority in the spiritual world. You're just float. You just want to do your own plan. And Satan will lead you in. I want you to remember today, Jesus, God is the potter. And folks, we are the clay. We're not the potter. Amen. We are the clay. Because if this old guy sits here and would put his own hands on it, I'm telling you, I know what that looks like. And it got messed real quick. And folks, I'd rather have God's hands on me than the devil's. And even if some things were taken away and had to bite the bullet on some things, we got to learn how to grow in our spiritual walk with the Lord and say, Lord giveth, as Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Some of us have to learn how to worship God in the pains and sufferings of life. Sometimes we have to get to a place where God tests us, things of life happen, and we have to learn how to worship God and love Him even when our heart is broken. And folks, that's a deeper spiritual part, a maturity of being a believer when you come out the other side going, no, I know what it's like to serve God with a broken heart. Because it is not all roses and beautiful things on this earth. And that stuff comes later. But we have a life to live. God says, I'm going to give my people an opportunity to get it right. But He goes, I know they're not going to do it. But I want them without excuse. They're choosing not to choose me. But I also want to remind you, don't get fooled by everything you see and read. I got to watch what I read, what I see. I got to always come back to the Word. God holds everything in His hands. Sometimes things happen because God says, you know what? You've fallen from me and drawn from me. I still love you, but I'm going to step over here. And then what happens? Life starts crashing down. Things start happening. All of a sudden, now we go, wait a minute. You didn't even know it. You were living in a pig pen. You didn't even know it. You were a prodigal. You got to get up. You got to say, oh, I got to come home. And then you start coming back to the Father. Let me tell you, you will come back. You will come back with less than you took. You will come back broken. You may have went strong. You may have went with money. You may have got all that you need, but you will come back bankrupt. And the only thing that can restore anything and all that you had and even more is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has everything. But I want to tell you, there's something that's more valuable than anything in this world. It's your heart, it's your soul, it's you. God says, for God so loved the world. And Jesus came and gave His life. That we might have life more abundantly. I know I went through about three other places, but that we might have life more abundantly. Folks, I don't know where you are, but I've been down that road. I've been down that road. I've been down that place where I've made a plan. And I go, whoops. This has been my plan. I've got it all in this plan. I'm asking Him to endorse my plan without me asking Him to be the author of the plan. If you haven't sensed the Holy Spirit, the Lord, with you in a while, and it's been a good while, you know something is off in your life, in your spiritual life. You know something is off. Well, you're probably right then. Something's off. Things aren't right. God says, I'll relent. You just got to go home. Not with just these, but with this. Jesus is a heart collector, and every heart is unique. One of a kind. One of a kind. I am a lump of clay, but I am so much more when Jesus puts His hands on me. Father, we take this a moment. A prayer time. May Your will be done. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand. and give us an